Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Sunday, January 5th, 2020. And welcome to the show. A very, very good show for you guys today as Mary Grader joins me and to discuss everything going on in WWE right now. And we get into the Royal Rumble predictions early as to who we think could possibly win. We go deeper into her conspiracy theory about how CM Punk could return. Very interesting and very plausible. Very plausible. So I'd encourage you to listen to the show and get that piece of information. And we also booked some things out to WrestleMania, and we have some differences of opinion on how Roman Reigns could be booked this year. And it was a very, very inspired conversation. She got me to get on a rant a couple of times, and you know what? She said that she doesn't purposefully poke the bear. I don't know, Mary. Sometimes I think that this could be something you do on purpose, but I love it. I think it's a good thing. And I really want to thank her for popping in the co-host spot chair on short notice. Just so you guys know, Ashley, who was originally scheduled for this weekend, is going to be moved to Wednesday. So she'll be joining me on Wednesday this coming week. We'll be discussing wrestling, of course. So those of you looking forward to Ashley will be able to get a conversation with myself and her on Wednesday. So tune into that show. And of course, Tuesday will be my Raw review. And so I'm looking forward to that as we are officially in 2020, which means we are officially in the new season of WWE because we are getting closer to the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, which is coming up in just a few short weeks. So it's going to be a blast as the wrestling world ramps up. Rumors fly everywhere. It's a great time to be a fan. And for those of you that aren't fans or casual fans, well, we all know we have friends like that just suddenly poke their heads in, as I said in my conversation with Mary. They poke their heads in and go, what's going on in there? Is anybody I know, is Undertaker there? Is The Rock coming out? Is Stone Cold going to be there? You know, all the big names that they remember from the Attitude Era, of which they're only interested in the top stars, and think that, you know, everybody else is, oh, I don't even know who this is, right? I have friends like that too. I mean, it comes with the territory of being a wrestling fan that it's only socially acceptable and socially cool to be a wrestling fan during WrestleMania season, and particularly at WrestleMania when the show actually happens. But, guys, thank you so much for joining me. It's a honor to be here, blast to be here on a 6-times-a-week basis. I don't know what the correct verbiage is from that. I was going to say a bi-weekly, tri-weekly, quad-weekly. I don't even know what the hell it is for six, but we're here 6 times a week. The AEW show just dropped. The NXT review for the end of the year awards just dropped. Lots of good content coming. And again, I'll be back Tuesday with your Raw review. And you can also head on over to Patreon and get your ad-free experience to the entire library, as well as video that will, for the first time ever, be coming this Tuesday. So that is exclusive to Patreon. I may extend it to the website in time, but for the time being, there's going to be bonus video content on the Patreon feed. And that's going to be available to all tiers. So starting at $1, you can get video of this podcast starting Tuesday. I won't be doing video every single time. It'll be just video for specific shows, usually solo shows that I have. It'll be a video podcast. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that affects the feedback and how it affects the show growth. I'm very interested to see how video does in terms of this show. And like I said, it feels like the show's getting a little bit stale, and I don't mean that by the co-hosts. They've been awesome. Myself, as the creator, I want to be able to, and the founder, really, of this show, I want to make sure I'm pushing this to the next level, and I think video may help do that. So anyway, guys, thank you again for joining me, and I'm really looking forward to this the next few weeks as we get closer to the Rumble, and because this is the first normal week of scheduled programming since like a month ago between Christmas and New Year's, and I had weddings and birthdays, and it's all over now. It is time to focus on WWE. It is time to focus on the Royal Rumble. It is time to focus on the returns, on the rumors, on all of that, because there's a lot of good stuff coming. It's a great time to be a wrestling fan. So without further ado, guys, let's just get into it. My conversation with Mary Grader. And again, don't forget, I'll be back Tuesday with Raw. Wednesday, Ashley's joining me. Thursday, Friday is your AEW and NXT reviews. And then, of course, Saturday with my normally scheduled co-host to go over the week in review. So a lot coming this week. And again, guys, follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com and check me out there, and appreciate any feedback. And again, guys, video coming Tuesday to Patreon only. So head on over there, get yourself signed up for a dollar. You can get all of this content with no ads, exclusive blogs, and you get the video for just a dollar a month. So, all right, guys, that's enough talk. Let's get right to the conversation with Mary. Everyone, enjoy yourselves. As always, I'll talk to you next time. All right, it's Sunday night, and we are only 3 weeks away from the Royal Rumble, and lots to talk about. Of course, it is now 2020, and that means that we're officially on the road to WrestleMania. A lot of different storylines that are starting to come together. Three big returns that happened on SmackDown, really four if you count the teammates as two, and of course Monday Night Raw that's rolling really, really well, I think, with AOP and Seth. But we're going to get to all that, and of course tons more, and maybe even a rant or two if my co-host here can bring it out of me. Mary Grader, welcome back to the show.
Happy New Year, dude.
Yes, Happy New Year. It is indeed going to be, I hope, a Happy New Year, because as I just mentioned, we're closing in on the road to WrestleMania. I know WWE doesn't consider it until the actual Royal Rumble event, but once the calendar turns to 2020, I really start to hone in on what could be possibly happening at WrestleMania. And let's kind of go over some things that happened, big things that I liked. Let's talk about some things that I like. That way, if there's rants that are to come, we can hold those off to the end. I'm gonna get my positivity out there up front. And one thing I really loved this week, and have been loving the last few weeks, is the Seth Rollins AOP alliance. What do you think about that? Are you loving this as much as I am?
I'm loving it from the opposite side with Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe. And geez, you're going to start me on a rant because it's completely adding to my conspiracy theory that Punk is coming back, let me hold on to a dream, guys. But no, it's good. Seth needed it. He's a better heel. It's working. So I'm trying not to get sick of it and just let it roll and see where it goes. But Samoa Joe joining forces with Kevin Owens seems authentic. It's good. They're the same size, you know. They have domineering personalities, and it's working. And they're ROH guys, original ROH guys, who were, I think, in ROH together. So, yeah, Punk conspiracies. Anyway, continue.
Yes, no, your Punk conspiracy lives, right? So
yeah.
It is, and it's not impossible. It's certainly not impossible. Punk is scheduled to return to WWE backstage, I think, this week or next week.
I think it's this week coming up.
Yeah, so we'll get maybe some more subtle hints. Maybe he'll just throw a red herring out there, likes to screw with the fans. He knows that we hang on every word. We all know that. So maybe we'll see something there, maybe not. But yes, the other side of this is indeed the Owens and Samoa Joe alliance. That is awesome. I'm loving that as well. It makes total sense. Guys that have been, I think, miscast for quite a while in their heel roles have now joined forces for a common cause, and that is the evil Seth and AOP that I'm absolutely loving. This certainly suits Seth to a much more natural degree than his forced, at times, vomit-inducing babyface run that he had of pandering to the fans and all this wee stuff that suddenly came out of nowhere. I love this AOP and Seth alliance. I don't know ultimately what the end game is here. I would think that gold is coming their way sooner than later, whether it is in the form of a tag team gold, or maybe the WWE championship. But I don't know how you put Seth and Brock together. Either way, I don't know. I'm loving this whole thing, and to me, it is the highlight of Raw every week.
I agree. It's working on all levels, but I don't think that there's going to be any championship stuff soon. I think this is just going to be it's coming off, and I'm hoping they don't ruin it, because you're right. The alliance between Joe and Owens is natural. It makes sense. They're doing a common good thing, and they haven't lost their edge either. So, you know, sometimes they get forced in that role, like you said. I guess they're the baby faces in it, but they both still have their personalities intact, and they're working off each other. They're not being super evil, but they're the kind of people that can go up against him and be just as evil. But I don't think there is going to be any gold anytime soon. I think this is going to run through WrestleMania, and it's just going to be, you know, those two versus Seth and AOP, and that, and, you know, possibly getting a third person to join with Joe and Owens to take on Seth. But it's working. I saw somebody on Twitter during Raw, I believe, or it might have been after, saying that Seth sounded like a preacher, or, you know, like a cult leader when he was like speaking on Raw on Monday. And I was just like, yep. You know, like, it just kind of fits, again, I have a conspiracy theory in the back of my head, but it's working even without that part added to it. So I hope it just keeps going. But I don't think if there is going to be gold, it won't be till the summer or something like that. I mean, Brock is way out of any of these guys, like, eye line and stuff like that.
So. Yeah, that is true. I don't think they need it, but I could see it. And I could see Seth being champion at some point after WrestleMania, and then AOP being the reason that Seth maintains the championship. I'm fine with that. That storyline, that to me is a tried and true formula. I'm totally fine with that. I also like that the subtle things that Seth's doing, like calling himself the Messiah, right? I mean, like stuff like that, where he doesn't even have the guts at times to look his opponent in the eye and say that, you know, look, you're about to get your ass kicked, and you should admit that you're wrong. Instead, he says, look, let's calm down. I'm going to let this slide. And then doesn't have the balls to look his opponent in the face, turns his back, and that's when he says under his breath to the AOP, like, finish him, or, you know, whatever he says. It's a subtle thing, but something like that just is, it adds so much depth to his character of, like, being a gutless SOB, cowardly, just this self-appointed dictator, this self-appointed leader that it's kind of a delusional leader that he thinks he's doing things for good. And in reality, he can't see what the fans see, and that he's just a guy that is this, what he thinks he is nowhere near what the fans perceive him as. Everything psychologically with Seth and the AOP is just working. And I'm loving it.
Yeah, I have no complaints about it for once, guys. Hey, look, I don't have any complaints. It hasn't bothered me. I've been interested in it, and they have good, they're playing off each other well. So Owens and now Joe against Seth, it's working. It's just, I don't want to say too much about it because I don't want to jinx it.
All right. No. Don't jinx it, because I want your conspiracy theory to come true. I need it to come true. We all want it.
I mean,
to come
it
true,
just so. Makes sense. Like, if we're going to do a rant list you right now, like, who, you know, again, the Messiah crap, sounding like a preacher. He's basically stealing his storyline, kind of, except he's not a straight edge Messiah. And, you know, Joe and Owens are original ROH guys who don't take crap like that, and Seth Rollins is around because of guys of like them. They're the originators. They're the ones who made the, you know, the trail, and who was the first one who really got signed to WWE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It works, and they're all friends, and everybody knows that Joe and Punk have a long history, and they're friends. I believe that's not somebody who got cut out when Punk did his leave. I don't think he ever had a falling out with Joe, and I think he always wanted Joe in the Federation with him. So, I mean, there's more incentive for Punk to come back now. His, you know, his old, you know, peers are there now. So, it's just my theory.
Well, it's not too far-fetched. There's a lot there that they could draw from. I just, and again, this is all under the assumption that this
all
is real,
theories.
Right?
It's exactly. Not, we don't know if this is happening. We're just
yes. Yeah, and we're spitballing. I mean, like, but again, it doesn't seem too far-fetched, because there's been this tension that Seth's trying to generate with Punk. He's trying to get Punk to bait him in. And Punk has so far kind of sidestepped the whole thing. But if he goes after two guys that that Punk is legitimately friends with, then that certainly leads to a potential 3-on-3 with Punk being the guy that comes in. I'm thinking it's going to be Rey Mysterio just because that makes the most sense. But say Rey Mysterio gets taken out backstage and, oh, they're down 3-2 and it's the, a WrestleMania match. What are they going to do? And they now have a third partner, and that is CM Punk versus AOP and Seth. I'm fine with that. I don't have to have a one-on-one Punk match with someone. My only concern would be Punk would overshadow that match so much so that all the other competitors in the match would almost be, I don't want to say forgotten, but they would be underwater compared to, Punk would be the complete focal point of the match. But if you're going to get him in the ring and you don't want him in a one-on-one program, that's certainly a way to do it.
But it leads to a one-on-one program eventually. It'll eventually lead to Seth versus CM Punk, and who wouldn't want to see Punk with his friends? I get where you're saying that, the return would overshadow anything going on, but it's a good mix of people. They're all legit people. It's not like somebody boring in there, like Sheamus. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a different level of star that's in the ring who I feel like Owens and Joe can definitely hold their own against, or not against Punk, but with Punk. I mean, They're all so very good on the mic, and they all almost have the same kind of style on the mic. Oh. So I don't see that being a big thing. I think it'll just add to the storyline. This is if, WWE does long-term storytelling. But
the thing is, that's a foreign, I don't even think they know what those words mean, but the thing is that this whole thing, they've already gone 80% of the way there. So your theory is honestly not that crazy, because they've already aligned Joe and Owens. They've already got Seth with backup now. And you have Rey Mysterio's potential third partner to Owens and Joe,
but would make sense storyline wise for him to get taken out. He's the older one.
He's the weak. He's really the weakest link. Let's be honest.
Yeah, exactly. So it all kind of just meshes well, and it sounds something like he would be interested in. But again, I don't write for WWE. I just
no.
So, Seth started all this by opening his mouth, and he, and I think that's what he wanted. You got to take chances sometimes, and he was out for himself when he was doing that whole entire thing. It wasn't like he's trying to get himself over on, somebody who he feels like he didn't have a shot at. Does that make sense to you? Because Daniel Bryan was doing an interview the other day and said he would love to see Punk back because he didn't have a match with him at WrestleMania. So
it's making me believe that it's happening. I mean, I'm starting to make it feel like it's likely in my brain, and I don't know if it is because, again, they're running out of time though. Yeah, I know. We're gonna get that trending. I'm telling you. But it's a slam dunk. It doesn't put a whole lot of pressure on Punk because it's the workload is divided pretty damn good. He doesn't have to live up to the one-on-one, five-star match that most people think that he's capable of and probably still is. But if he's going to
get back in the ring, he's got to get back used to it. So he needs buffer matches like this. He needs to be involved in something like that.
But they're running out of time. I mean, as far as what they're going to drop hints of, we only have the Rumble. It's only 3 weeks away.
I mean, but do they really need to drop hints, though, for something like this? I think enough stuff's been put out there. I think if he's coming back, it's going to be so hush-hush. And he's able to play stupid. Punk has never reveals his cards. So I don't think that you're going to get hints like that. You're going to get what you've gotten. And you're right, the Rumble is 3 weeks away. Anything can happen at the Royal Rumble.
Or maybe, like you said, leave it until February or even March before this occurs. I mean, imagine the internet exploding in excitement for CM Punk being that third partner after Rey Mysterio gets attacked or whatever. I mean, I could see them even waiting till like 4 weeks out of WrestleMania. I mean, the thing is, you don't need a lot of hype on this because it's CM effing Punk, right? So yeah. you don't need, 10 weeks of a build for this. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. See, I'm talking myself into it. Now I'm going to be really pissed when I see Rey Mysterio. Like, I'm going to be angry at him.
You'd be angry at me.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to be angry. Yeah, maybe.
I'm just throwing stuff out there. Just temporarily
block me for like a month, right? If this doesn't make, this doesn't happen.
I just want to believe, man. I just want to believe. So I'm like, believe in my own hype. I was just like, oh man, it would be so wonderful. It's like played out in my head like a zillion times. So
yeah, no, but like you said, we're already 80% there. You just got to get that last piece in. So, all right. Well, something else that I liked as we're going on our positive train here, and something a little bit less of a, in terms of main storyline, but Aleister Black and Buddy Murphy have been tearing you know what up for a really long time here. I mean, they put on the match of the night at TLC and stole the show. Then they put them on Monday Night Raw, and you have Aleister Black go over both times. And what that signals to me is that this program is over. But is it really over, considering how damn good these two are in the ring? I don't know if this is something that is more of a stepping block, or a stepping stone, rather, for Aleister Black, or if this is going to be some longer program. I don't know. The way it ended on Raw, it seemed like Aleister Black was pretty much done with Murphy.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going from here, but the matches have been insane. It's been a highlight when they've been wrestling. I hear that they were doing the house shows too, and they were tearing it up. So we'll see. Maybe the program's not. I don't know if it's a stepping stone for either or. Buddy Murphy has gotten way over since he debuted, more so than I think anybody thought he would have. Do you agree with that?
I think he has, but I don't think they've capitalized on the awesome. The matches in which put him on the map, right? Like when he had a really, really, really damn good pay-per-view quality match with Roman Reigns over the summer, and they did nothing with it. I said, there's his opportunity. Let's do something with him. And they did absolutely nothing. And then it's the who done it with Reigns. And then Reigns comes in the locker room and starts bullying Buddy Murphy around like he's, you know, some high school jock in the locker room. So I don't know. I don't know if Buddy Murphy is a guy that's kind of like, Chad Gable. I refuse to call him Shorty G. He comes out and there's not a whole lot of fanfare, but he brings the crowd in every single time during his match. He knows how to pull the audience in, even if his entrance isn't super explosive. I mean, so that's a talent that is, I think fewer guys have it than guys do. So,
yeah. So I mean, even with the stuff with Roman Reigns, you're right. I mean, they didn't capitalize on it as they should have, but for being somebody who just like kind of debuted and like went toe to toe with Roman Reigns, he got pretty over. He did show what he was capable of. You know, he had good matches with Roman Reigns. So I don't know. I feel like both of them just needed something and it worked with their style. And maybe it's just they're going to move on from there, or maybe they're going to cross paths again. You don't know.
This is one of those programs that I could see. And what I'd want even is when they did, when Cesaro and Sheamus had a best of seven, and it actually ended up in a draw in the seventh match, and then they ended up becoming a tag team. I mean, I wouldn't mind something like that, or even seeing these guys in a true Iron Man match. It'll never happen, because the Iron Man matches, I think the last time a true 60-minute Iron Man match happened was Triple H versus The Rock at, like, what was it, Unforgiven, or when The Undertaker returned as the American Badass back in 2000. I don't even know if there's been another true Iron Man match. But
an Iron Man match. But,
no, 60-minute. Not a 60-minute. There's been, like, 30-minute. I don't know if there's been a true 60-minute Iron Man match. I'd like someone to find that out, because I don't remember or recall anything since then. What, 20 years ago. So
I don't know. I don't remember. That's
somebody do research. Somebody within the sound of my voice, just Google it, right? There's got to be something out there, but I don't think it's happened. And my point is that I could see these two in a longer series, but the thing is that on Monday night, with two victories in a row and a very decisive victory with two black masses by Aleister Black, it signals to me that this program is over. And really the focus, if that is indeed the case, is on Aleister Black. And I like his character. He is an intriguing MF-er. His promos, while people are getting bored of them, I'm watching him. I love his character. His entrance with the, you know, rising up out of the stage is awesome. So clearly, WWE is focused more on elevating Aleister Black than they are Buddy Murphy. I think that's pretty clear in the signals of who, the matches that they've had.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you, in terms of theatrics, I guess you would be right. I don't know. I just think that Buddy Murphy shouldn't be cast aside. So I think he's going to start getting more programs and getting a push. I mean, look at Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke right now is getting a push. So, I mean, we can segue into that. But I just feel like just because it's over with Aleister Black doesn't mean that, like, it's over for Buddy Murphy. I think
he's going to
add a whole bunch of people.
And I don't want them to cast aside Buddy Murphy. That's not my point. I want Buddy Murphy to be elevated as well, maybe parallel the career of Aleister Black. I think both men are insanely talented in the ring. Their chemistry is out of this world together. But I'm fine if they just do a side program with Buddy Murphy, but he's being elevated on a weekly basis, fine. But yes, to your point, as a nice segue into the match with the triple threat on SmackDown with Dana Brooke and Lacey Evans against Sasha and Bayley against Alexa and Nikki, that was surprising. I don't know. I mean, miracles can happen. Maybe Seth truly is the Messiah because Dana Brooke won a match this week.
And got the pin. Yeah, she got the pin. But on the other hand, she's getting pushed and she's doing well. I mean, I've always liked Dana Brooke. I think she got like kind of the short end of the stick when she first debuted. But like now she's getting this push. I guess they're like, oh, hey, she actually can, you know, move in the ring. Lacey Evans, though, hell of an improvement from the last time she was around because she went away for a little bit and then she came back. She's good in the ring now. It, like, happened. She was terrible when she first came up. She was doing a lot of botching, a lot of falling over, messy stuff, and she's trying out new moves, and she's showing that she's very athletic, almost reminiscent of Charlotte. Not as good as Charlotte. Don't anybody get their panties in a bunch. That's not what I meant. But she's trying to do those moves that, like, Charlotte does and stuff, and I've been impressed with her in the ring the last couple of weeks. She definitely went and did some training and realized that, hey, I kind of suck. Mm-hmm. So she actually got her stuff together. What do you think?
Yeah, there has been definite improvement all around with Lacey Evans. I don't think it's a night and day. I think that there's still work to be done. I think that she's, again, as you said, she's not to the level of Charlotte, to the level of Becky, to the level of Sasha. She's not. But nor should she be, nor should we expect her to be at this point in the game. She is an extremely green in terms of being on the main roster. So absolutely, I think she's as good as we could expect to be as long as we see consistent improvement. I think that she's right where she needs to be and needs to continue to improve her in-ring performances and as well on the mic. I think she's actually ahead of where she could be considering how long she's been on the main roster in terms of promo ability. While some people think she may talk slow or that sassy Southern gimmick isn't cutting it, well, don't forget, she just turned face. She is now trying to incorporate her daughter into this whole storyline, which I have some mixed feelings on. And so there's room here for improvement. The whole point with Lacey Evans, though, is that why we're supposed to back her is because this relatability factor, right? Like, this is what WWE is trying to get us to feel is empathy for. Well, if I had a daughter, I'd feel the same way. I'm going to defend their honor. And there was a bit of a mess up. I don't know if you caught it this week on SmackDown 2, where she said, she came out to after Bayley and Sasha had a 10-second promo, didn't mention her daughter once. And Lacey Evans comes out and says, "You keep my daughter out of your mouth." I'm like, they didn't even mention her. That was clearly, I think they probably hit her music too quickly and Bayley was about to get there, or Bayley forgot what she was going to say and then they just hit the music. And either way, that was a disconnect for me. But I don't know. So what do you think about the whole storyline, though, with her daughter really being at the focus of her, why she's in this fight with Bayley and Sasha?
Yeah. It's kind of a groan. I don't know. The little kid storylines don't do it for me, especially when it's like, I don't know. It just comes off weird. I think there's more reasons for Sasha and Bayley to be heels than like picking on children and stuff like that. Like, they don't need to. They're running the room. They're badass chicks. I don't know. I don't agree with the daughter stuff, but it's got her involved. It's working, so I'm not going to like nitpick it apart.
Yeah, I think beyond Lacey, because I felt a rant, but I wasn't going to do it. I mean, I'm fine with this daughter thing. I know what they're trying to do. How can you dislike somebody that's just defending their family? Oh, I don't know. Look at The Miz. The fans did not connect with that, but that's another story. We'll get to that. And I think that having Lacey Evans out there really is, it's telling because the fans are not still sure how to feel about her. There hasn't been a whole lot of change in her character. She's still coming out looking the exact same. Her music's still the same. And yeah, we don't have to see an immediate change. When Bayley turned, we didn't see an immediate change from Bayley in terms of a physical appearance for a couple of weeks, and music took a couple of weeks. I said, change the damn music. And they did. They changed her look, and they finally did. And while they're still not, I think, following through successfully on Sasha and Bayley, which is something that is really starting to eat at me every week, that why are they just letting these two flop out there, is that Lacey Evans, maybe she will change, because people were just, she's been a heel since she's come up. So what do you think of what they've done so far, though, with Bayley and Sasha since the turn? Do you think they're maximizing what they could be doing with them? Or do you think that they're just kind of like, oh, yeah, the SmackDown Women's Champion is out here, and here's her sidekick, Sasha. We haven't really come up with a whole lot for you guys, so just kind of go through the motions for the next few months.
I don't know how to start this. I don't have a problem with it. They're doing traditional heel stuff, but I think they're being used to their maximum extent now. I mean, they never do that in WWE. I don't understand. Like, I was trying to figure like a comparison. That's why it took me a second and I stuttered. Like, what they're doing with Owens and Joe, even though they're in the face role, like, those are two, you know, strong personalities, you know, together, and it's working. I mean, it's only been a week or two, so maybe I'm talking too soon, but Bayley and Sasha should just be, I mean, they are doing nasty stuff, though, too. It's very hard. They're half doing it. Like you said, it's not being used to full capacity. They're doing the right things. I think there could be more intensity behind it. I think that they could have better reasoning. That's why I said, like, the daughter thing, like, it's working, but it doesn't work for me. I don't think that's, like, something that they can find better stuff to fight about, but they should just be running the division. That's what they should be doing. That should be their roles, running the division.
It should. Yeah, no. It should be their roles. I mean, you have two competitors at the level of Sasha and Bayley, and one is the longest holding SmackDown Women's Champion, not Street. I don't want to say longest running,
not
because
I guess,
yeah, collectively she's had the most number of days as SmackDown Women's Champion. And yet, I hate to feel this way, but it feels like Bayley and the SmackDown Women's Championship is an afterthought every week. You see the belt on her and you're like, oh, that's right, she's the champion. It just doesn't feel like a focal point of the show, and I feel like it should be. And I don't feel like they're maximizing what they could be doing with these two. As you said, they should be running roughshod. We barely hear from them. They got 10 seconds on the mic this week. After their turns, we said, oh, my God, here we go. We're off to the races. And then they don't do anything with them. They're just kind of hanging out there, cutting like a 5-second, 10-second promo. Tell us your mission. Why did you turn? And continue to remind us of that. Don't just turn and have the creative go, well, and it'll figure itself out. That's what they wanted,
I mean,
so we gave it to them.
Well, I mean, Bayley kind of did that. Like, I don't know if I didn't understand Sasha's turn. Well, I know why they turned Sasha, because she's a better heel than face. But, I mean, Bayley's been trying to say that, you know, the reason why she turned was because none of the fans appreciated her, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, she's along, and she's trying to be cocky about it. It just comes off, like, awkward on her because, again, Bayley, she's just, like, kind of one of those plain personality people's, like, oh, I'm a kid. Like, she doesn't have the attitude that Sasha has. Does that make sense? I'm trying to describe what I'm thinking.
Charisma.
So
yeah.
While you were talking about all this is saying, like, the focal point should be the championship, even though they're tag teaming together. Do you feel it would be different if the title was on Sasha? Because I think it would be completely different
yes.
if the title was on Sasha. I think that Bayley's not carrying it the way that Sasha would. And if Sasha was champ and Bayley was still her sidekick, it would work. I think they're forcing the Bayley. Like, that's why they're going to turn Sasha sooner than later and have Sasha take the title off of Bayley. It's going to happen. And they're going to pull the trigger on it way too soon. But that's going to split them up. It's not going to be like, oh, Sasha is going to have the title and Bayley, unless Bayley drops to somebody and then Sasha wins. But I feel like it would be a completely different run and feel of the two of them if Sasha had the title, and the title would be the focus.
Well, I think that's the biggest thing. It is that Bayley she's a great competitor, but she's, like you said, she's just kind of a plain Jane. She tries to sometimes emote on the mic. She just is kind of a vanilla champion, even though she's heel, and I think she's still better off as heel. Sasha just has much more charisma. It oozes through the screen. She can be more, she can emote much better, I think, than Bayley ever can. And it just, I don't like Sasha feeling like she's playing second fiddle or being just the sidekick of Bayley. If anything, it should be the opposite way. But I just, as a whole, these two have kind of been forgotten to some degree, considering the magnitude of this heel turn, especially Bayley's heel turn. I mean, think about what she came from, and just this happy-go-lucky cartoon Saturday morning, like kumbaya character, to this dark, I come out with the title on my neck, kind of looking down, depressed. I mean, like, it's a complete change. But I'm not feeling what they're doing with them. And I hope, again, if their solution is to turn Sasha, well, we've seen the turns how many times on one another. As you said, they're probably going to do it sooner, way sooner than they should. And should they eventually? Yes. But I have a feeling they're going to hotshot it and just do it for the shock value and have the people love Sasha because what they've done. But I don't know if the crowd's going to buy it, because we've seen these two turn on one another how many times over the last 3 years?
I agree, but listen, I don't work for WWE. I just know what they're going to do, because they always do it, because they're going to view this Bayley thing eventually if it keeps going like this. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. It's WWE. It's WWE logic. You know, if it keeps going and it keeps getting staler, they're going to be like, oh, it's failure. You know, we got to put the title on Sasha. We got to get something out of this. There's got to be a payoff. So,
yeah.
But there shouldn't be. They should just be running shot. That's it. They should just be badass girls on the show, beating up everybody, doing what the Riot Squad was doing, but them.
But succeeding. Like, actually succeeding. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it working. Like, the locker room being inferior to them. Like, that's that. But, again, if the title was on Sasha, I think that it would be completely different, and you would feel that more than what you're feeling right now.
Which is like nothing. I mean, I'm like, oh, I don't like her because she's heel, and I like her heel, but Sasha as champion is just so much more entertaining. So, yeah, maybe they will, and maybe it'll work. But another woman in the women's division that is kind of floating out there and I'm not sure how to feel about is Charlotte, right? I don't – how am I supposed to feel about Charlotte right now? I mean, she teamed up with or no, I'm sorry, she didn't team up. She defeated Natalya this past week on Raw. I don't, but again, she kind of turned heel or babyface by default, but then she still talks about herself as the queen and everyone bowing down. I don't know how to feel about Charlotte. Again, she's kind of a default babyface, but nothing's changed about her. She's not in any kind of significant program. My assumption is that she's in a holding pattern for something bigger. I just don't know what that something bigger could be. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, she's kind of in limbo right now. I didn't really think about it until you brought it up. I don't know. It's kind of weird, right? Like, Becky? What do you say about it? Like, she's always in the picture. And I guess maybe they got the memo, like, a half a year too late, like, to stop forcing her in the picture. Because, like, I feel like she shouldn't have been involved in the Rousey-Lynch storyline. They didn't need to put her in there. But, I mean, maybe they got the memo. Maybe something bigger is coming on. I don't know. It's kind of weird. She's kind of like doing those random women's matches right now. Usually she has a storyline, but Becky really hasn't been around either.
No, she's been honestly just very, she's been sprinkled into the show instead of it being a main storyline. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm fine with that. Because I think
she has a storyline.
Yes, she has a big right, and there's a big. She's involved right now in a match that I'm really, really looking forward to because of what happened last year of Asuka inexplicably. I still don't agree with that. I'm still kind of torn about that, and Charlotte winning the women's championship on SmackDown the week before WrestleMania. But that's like a trigger warning for me. But I think with Sasha or with Asuka and Becky, this is something that like. I think it's reinvigorated Becky's character a little bit, because this is the one loss that she's had, and she's never defeated Asuka clean. And so this to me makes a whole lot of sense. I'm looking forward to this match, not just from a storyline perspective, but the match quality that these two could have. This could easily steal the show too at the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very looking forward to this match, and I really want to know if this is when they're going to drop the title, because they should, like, to make up for all the miscalculations they did to Asuka for the first, like, year and a half she was on the roster and everything that happened with her Rumble win and stuff like that. I don't know. I think that Asuka should definitely get the title at the Rumble.
I would agree with you if this was SummerSlam. The reason I'm not going to agree with you, I know this isn't a prediction show, but we're kind of looking towards this now, is I don't think Asuka is going to win. Number one, she is the one half of the women's tag team champions. So having her do double duty, it doesn't happen that often. Yeah, we've seen Becky do it, we've seen Seth do it, we've seen a couple other people do it as of the last 5 years, but it doesn't happen too often. And number two, we're getting so close to WrestleMania that I think what they're going to possibly do is just have her get to WrestleMania and maybe drop it to whoever her opponent may be at WrestleMania. I mean, having her go from WrestleMania to WrestleMania as champion would be a pretty big deal, considering that she main evented the WrestleMania main event. You know, there's lots of possibilities that can happen. What if Ronda shows up and screws her out of the belt? I mean, there's so many different things. I haven't heard anything about Rousey. But it's possible that Rousey comes back a year later to avenge her loss to Becky. I mean, there's so many awesome things that can happen. I just feel like rolling into WrestleMania season, you still want Becky as champion because you're only a couple of months out from WrestleMania.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the first time that at the Rumble a title like that changed hands. You know, world, it happens at the Rumble. Rumble is one of the most important pay-per-views of the year. So, and leading into WrestleMania season with a new champion, it's happened before. Also, as far as Rousey goes, like, yeah, she could do, you know, she could show up a week before Mania and have a match, but. I mean, if she's going to come back, I think she's going to come back at the Rumble. You got to see who returns in the Rumble if there's any big returns this year, because it kind of feels like the division's a little empty right now, and maybe people are going to come back that, you know, we haven't seen, or returns, or people that have just kind of vanished from the roster and start getting pushed, you know? Like, where the heck is Naomi been?
Yeah,
Like,
I don't know. Well, Nia Jax is apparently close, so
yeah.
yeah.
It's just, it feels kind of empty, you know? So. We'll see. We'll see. But Ronda could show up very likely in the Rumble. I mean, everybody was expecting her to show up at the Rumble, what, last year? And did she? Like, or she debuted after, you know?
Yeah, no, she,
So.
yep. There's this Rumble is extremely intriguing on so many levels, in terms of the Rumble match itself is the most intriguing part to me. The men's and women's Royal Rumble match is just so damn intriguing from the storyline's perspective of, well, Roman Reigns is the heavy favorite, and I would agree he's the heavy favorite to win, but I would also argue that having Roman Reigns win that may bring back a lot of negative feelings of Roman Reigns being at the top. And also, if Roman Reigns doesn't win, it doesn't mean he's not going to main event WrestleMania. Don't forget, there are two championships, and somebody on the opposite brand that doesn't win the Rumble has to get to the championship match, and they do that via other means, Roadblock or No Way. Oh, it used to be No Way Out, which was the pay-per-view between Rumble and Mania. Fastlane is the pay-per-view that buffers that now. Maybe this something happens at Fastlane. Something has to happen at Fastlane. So don't forget, there are two paths to main event at WrestleMania. So if Roman Reigns doesn't win, doesn't mean we're not going to see Roman Reigns in the main event of WrestleMania. I mean, I fully expect Roman Reigns to be standing at the top rope of WrestleMania as the fireworks go off and he's holding the Universal Championship after defeating The Fiend. I mean, I just see it. I don't want it, but I see it.
Ooh, that's a lot to unpack.
A lot. Yeah, sorry.
Do I think he's the favorite to win the Rumble? I don't know if there is a favorite to win the Rumble, to be honest with you. Do I see him in the Final Four? Absolutely. I don't know. And are you sure Fastlane is there? Isn't Elimination Chamber back?
Hang on. Now I'm pulling up the schedule. Hold on. But
Because
yes.
if Elimination Chamber is back in February, that's usually the buffer, and then you have another big pay-per-view where anything could happen and titles could change hands. I don't think it's Roman Reigns Fiend. I don't see that at all. I don't even know if Fiend's going to be champion to Rumble. I mean, to WrestleMania. I don't think he's going to have the title on him by WrestleMania.
So Royal Rumble, obviously the 26th. Then we have it says February to be announced. They didn't give a date, but there is going to be a pay-per-view, probably Fastlane in February, and then March 8th is the Elimination Chamber in Philadelphia. So yeah, there's two pay-per-views between Rumble and Mania.
Yeah, so a lot could happen. Mm-hmm. But going on your prediction with Reigns and Fiend, I don't even know if Wyatt will have the title at WrestleMania. I don't. If you have Elimination Chamber before that, I feel like if he doesn't lose it to Bryan at Royal Rumble, which it feels like it's going to, I don't know if he's going to have it at Mania. I really don't, because who's his opponent after Bryan, and why would it be Roman Reigns?
Well, if Roman Reigns wins the Rumble, or if he doesn't, I mean, there's no one left for Roman Reigns to go up to other than the Fiend. I mean, he's going to destroy Baron Corbin. He's already destroyed Dolph Ziggler. He is at the top that you can. You're at the very last step before you get to the top guy, which right now is Bray Wyatt, because he has the championship. Daniel Bryan against Roman Reigns is a possible main event WrestleMania. They teased that on SmackDown this week, but I still believe it's unfortunately going to be Roman Reigns versus the Fiend at WrestleMania again. If he's not champion, whoever the champion is, I still believe it's going to be Roman Reigns. This is the year of Roman Reigns. The reincarnation of Roman Reigns is probably what is being talked about with Vince McMahon and management, because they have positioned him to do that. Who else could Roman Reigns possibly face at WrestleMania? I mean, Roman Reigns, he's been out of the title picture for over a year. So to me, it's kind of a slam dunk.
I think it makes more sense, though, to be Daniel Bryan, to be honest, over Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, but yes, it could be. It could be Daniel Bryan. The thing is that WWE would be really, really gambling with themselves, considering the history that these two have in the minds of fans with what happened at the last Royal Rumble at 2015. And really, Daniel Bryan being the antithesis and being the complete opposite, which is what that is, of Roman Reigns and the character of what Roman Reigns embodies. And what Daniel Bryan embodies, and how each of them got to the top were two completely different ways of Daniel Bryan being driven there by the fans and Vince McMahon driving Roman Reigns to the top. I mean, so you have the WWE would really, really be ballsy to put these two in the main event of WrestleMania if the goal is to get Roman over as a babyface, or at least continue to get him over. It would be foolish, I think, to have WWE do that, because they would really, really be gambling all this progress they've made since he came back from the return of his cancer.
I mean, yeah, listen to what you just said. Would you put it past them?
That's true.
Like, they've done stupid crap like this before. They don't care. That's their ha-ha, screw you, we got Roman Reigns over no matter what you guys did finale.
That would be, I'm telling you, you know what? I hope that they truly believe that would be a great main event. And you know what? From a wrestling perspective, from only a wrestling, sure, it would be, and it could be a five-star match if given enough time. Roman and Bryan are that good, I have no doubt. But from a character development, storyline development standpoint, this is going to be a total disaster if they believe that, people truly love Roman now. Really, put him against Daniel Bryan in the main event of WrestleMania and then see what happens. It will be it will backtrack Roman 50 steps from what they think is going to happen. You know what? I hope it happens, because I want to see the reaction that match has. I really do.
I don't know what to say. I don't want it to happen. I just don't see. I don't see Wyatt having the title. I mean, I could be wrong, though. I was wrong about all that stuff. I'm wrong all the time. I'm just throwing out what I think should happen, but or what I see happening, or what makes more sense. But the WWE does make sense, Matt. So it doesn't really matter what I say.
No, but. Oh, okay. Now I'm like, yeah. If they are that, they can't be that naive. They just
I
can't.
I hope they aren't.
Well, how about this?
They get it right.
Yeah. No, they do. They do occasionally when their hand is completely forced, right? I mean, yeah. Sometimes they do,
like,
because
just like you said, it might be kind of weird for Roman Reigns to win the Rumble after that thing that happened in 2015. You know, with everything that happened that led to Bryan. They did it, though, you know, and they're going to do it again. If you're saying that Reigns is the favorite for the Rumble, So why wouldn't they do something like that? They just teased it.
They could, but do they really want to go through that all over again? I mean, I just why would they want to reopen that wound that has taken 5 years to at least scab over? I mean, it's not even healed. I mean, it's just scabbed there. If you hit it the wrong way, it's going to start bleeding again. I mean, it's going to happen, because once Roman Reigns gets away from Baron Corbin, and the fans stop and are suddenly realizing what the hell's going on, and wait a minute, yeah, we don't like Corbin, but we like The Fiend way better. The Fiend is a much cooler character than Roman Reigns ever has been, and also, if it's Daniel Bryan, same thing. Oh yeah, we love this guy. And it would be foolish, asinine, and I just don't know how they can be that flat out stupid to believe that is going to be a successful storyline in terms of crowd reaction. But hey, I could be wrong too. But how about this though? How about if Kevin Owens wins the Royal Rumble and then goes on to face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? That's also another rumor out there floating that Kevin Owens could win the damn thing.
I've been booking that match for 4 years now. I said that Owens was the guy who should have taken down Lesnar after he held the title for a while. There was nobody else that could go toe-to-toe with him. It's believable size-wise, even though mm-hmm. Owens not like built like Brock Lesnar, you know, strength-wise, stature. Mm-hmm. I think it's a good matchup. Just like I think Joe's a good matchup for Brock. I mean, they never really finished that well. It should have, you know, developed into something more, but that I would kill to see that match. I've been wanting to see that match for a while.
Yes, the Samoa Joe deal was something that, yes, they did the match. It was back in 2017. I loved that match. I loved what Joe said after that match, that people forget that he said, "Brock, you didn't beat me, you escaped me." Like, that was, I loved it. The build to that match was awesome. Do I think it was maybe a year late? Maybe, after he came in as Triple H is heavy and took down Seth Rollins. Could they have done the match that year? Maybe they could have, but I'm glad they still did it. Do I think we'll see another Brock Samoa Joe match in my life? In my life, probably. But I would rather see Kevin Owens versus Brock, simply because I've never seen it. And I think that they could put Kevin Owens in a position to do that, because the crowd is organically behind him. I think he's done a great job as the lead babyface on Raw. There's a lot of things there that they could do, and WWE loves their first time ever, first this, first that, history making. They love all those phrases, and that would cover and check all those boxes, and you could have Kevin Owens indeed take the championship away from Brock at WrestleMania. To me, that's how I would go, and if you're going to do Roman and the other side, fine, just don't have him win the Rumble.
Yeah, you could do that too. Yeah, what's to say that Roman Reigns just doesn't get like the title shot at Mania too? If you're saying, I just feel like after, maybe it's just me, like my perception, I feel like after all the pushing they did for Reigns and when he came back and it, like, they kind of like put him in the background and he was like not doing, like, he was still doing top card matches, but he was, you know, kind of moved to the side so he wasn't getting shoved down your throat. Because of that and him being over now, because he's over, you know, you still hear boos a little bit, but he naturally got back over when he came back, and as he should. I mean, it was terrible what happened, so how are you going to hate the guy? I don't know where I was going with this. I kind of lost my thought.
The main event, I was saying, yeah, Kevin Owens could be the one to take down Brock Lesnar. And
but that's, I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. So that's why I don't feel like he's like in the main event, like title scene, because he hasn't been pushed as hard. I mean, maybe it's just my perception of it now, because like he's kind of been in the background. He's back in like a main storyline again. But I mean, it's with Baron Corbin getting dog food thrown on him. It's been kind of a side story to what else has been going on. Right. Am I wrong?
Well, you're not wrong in the sense that he has been pushed to the side of the championship opportunities and matches, which is what management would like the fans to remember, that, oh, he hasn't been in the championship picture forever. He hasn't been a champion in a long time. But the other part of that is, yeah, he's not in the championship matches, and I've said this before, but he has been on the, in terms of positioning on the show, oftentimes he'll open the show, oftentimes he will close the show. I remember several times Kofi Kingston being champion for 6 months over the summer, and yet it's the whodunit with Roman Reigns closing the show, and Roman Reigns' storylines being repeated on replay throughout the show. Let's show you what happened backstage with the crates falling on Roman Reigns. So yeah, he hasn't been the focal point in terms of the championship, but he is still the focal point of the show in terms of the storylines being woven through it, being shown multiple times, oftentimes opening the show, and oftentimes closing the show. I mean, look at this past week.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I'm not saying that, like, but it's just like, that's why my perception hasn't been focused on the title, because like, it just hasn't been like, it still doesn't feel like the Roman Reigns show like it was. I mean, remember how it was at one point? Like, it was just, you know, him but it cutting bad promo after bad promo, you know, and then being doing backstage stuff, right? It seemed like way more concentrated than it is now. So even though he's been like a focal point, he hasn't been in the title scene picture. And that's why I just like, I'm not like, oh, he's going to win the Rumble. I haven't even thought about who's going to win the Rumble. I think it's kind of open right now.
It is. And I think we'll get more of a picture the next few weeks, obviously. And whoever the announcers make their pick as, I mean, I love the pre-show. I mean, when I say I love it, it's horrendous in terms of like predictions of who they think's going to win what match, and they act like fools, especially Jerry the King Lawler, who is becoming more useless on commentary by the minute. Some of his logic for why people win stuff is just, I mean, it's like, you know, my 5-year-old cousin could come up with a better reason why. I think we'll get more of a picture, obviously, as we get closer. We'll see who the front runners are. Maybe there's some dark horse that could possibly win. We also have to take into consideration, of course, who wins those title matches at the Royal Rumble, because the Rumble match happens last. In 99% of the time, the Rumble match is last, so that the person can stand on the second rope and point to the WrestleMania sign while the fireworks go off. That's just what you do. So you also have to remember, I know there's a lot of points here, but you have to remember, because my mind is racing about the Rumble. Rumble, like, really fires me up. Because,
no, it's my favorite pay-per-view.
I agree. Even more so than WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Is that just because the person's in a title match doesn't mean they can't enter the Rumble. I mean, or in any match on the show, they can't enter the Rumble. We've seen it before where just because you think the person has already been in a match that they're not going to be in the Royal Rumble match. Look what happened with Roman Reigns a few years ago when he entered at number 30 and he had a match earlier in the show. I mean, I think that was just to troll the fans, but
it totally was.
Yeah, because it was number 30. That was nothing more than WWE trolling the fans. And I give him credit for it because that was hilarious. And really, it pissed me off in the moment, but I go, there's just no way they're going to do this again. But my point is, just because you're on the show in a match doesn't exempt you completely from being in the Royal Rumble match. So that's something else we have to think about.
Yeah, because I don't even know if they have enough people, but like, you don't want too many, you know, egg and hammers. I don't know. I just tried to say something really like stupid wrestling and I messed it up. So anyway, you don't want, you know, the guys that are kind of the B-rate characters to dominate the Rumble. Of course you want them in there, but I just don't know if they have enough people. So yeah, secondary people coming in for matches that they had can be in there. But I think that we're probably going to get a return or a debut of somebody in the Rumble. You also have NXT people that are in the Rumble now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, who's to say when they're going to pull the first crazy like NXT guy wins the Rumble. Could you imagine if that happens this year after that whole NXT months ago? That's a possibility. Like, yeah, people don't think about it. I mean, like, if Adam Cole goes in that Rumble match again, and he was in it last year, I believe, who's to say they're not going to have Adam Cole win the Rumble?
Right.
That's why the Rumble is the best pay-per-view, because you really don't know. They can, but after that huge NXT push a couple months ago and Adam Cole just wiping the floor with everybody, do I think it's believable because he has little arms? No. But do I think that they would do it and he's that talented enough to pull it off? Like, the guy's a star. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't mean, just because he wins the Rumble doesn't mean he's going to win the title. Also, you could have him in a title match at WrestleMania.
And he could work with anybody.
Yeah, and he can work with anybody. And it's not going to be a big thing if he loses, because he's still the up and comer.
Or if you're Nia Jax, you just attack somebody from behind and then just enter the men's Royal Rumble. I mean, because that's the thing, right? I mean, apparently she just identified as a man for those, 10 minutes that she was in the Royal Rumble match.
If you,
I can't even handle that.
But like, you remember all the stuff that happened with Jon Moxley, with Dean Ambrose, and how they were trying to put him in matches with Nia Jax
before he left and
stuff. Yep. So like, that was lead up to that. They were setting up for that. That's why Nia Jax entered the Royal Rumble. There was a purpose for that. Them humiliating Dean Ambrose.
Oh, I get it. And
yeah.
You know what? It's to me, it's two leveled though, and I understand what they were doing to build Nia at that point. But my twofold on this though is, number one, so apparently to just get in the Rumble, you just attack whoever you want backstage, and then just attack them from behind and just run in the ring, and you're immediately entered in the Rumble. Number two, it's the men's Royal Rumble. Imagine if a man entered the women's Royal Rumble, there would be so much outcry and this is sexist. Oh, and you know, man in a women's Royal Rumble. Yet when it's the other way around. Oh, well, no one even blinks about it and goes, oh, this is hilarious having her come in. And I'm glad she got her ass RKO'd, and I'm glad she got super kicked and all that, and she got eliminated, but she should not have even been in the damn match. Not even withstanding, you have people who are eliminated making eliminations after they're eliminated. That's not a thing. You can't do that in sports. If you're eliminated, you're gone. You can't come back the next week and knock out somebody that is still in the tournament that you're not in anymore. It's just not a thing. It shouldn't even count. You should, if you want to throw them over the top rope, great. But guess what? You're not a legal competitor anymore because you have been eliminated. But anyway, those are. I'm going to stop. Go ahead. Yeah,
Matt, I'm sorry. Yeah. So what you were saying is, though, even though China and Beth Phoenix entered, that was more legit because they entered.
Yeah, people point to that too, but at the same time, like, even back then, I'm like, wait, this isn't a thing.
No, it's a gimmick. Right? I mean, they're never going to win it. And I agree with all your points. I was just making sure there was no difference between Nia Jax. I get the rule thing too. That pissed me off. Like, Becky did it also.
I don't want it. It's men's and it's women's, just as we have men's and women's professional sports teams throughout the world. That's just how it is. And you can't, my God, you can't just come on the team because you're, I didn't want to get into the identifying whole thing, but if you are a man, you cannot enter a woman's team. If you're a woman, you cannot be on a man's team. And so this whole, yeah, if something like that happens again, I'm going to, I mean, seriously.
I don't think that's going to happen again this year. I think it's going to be a smooth sailing as smooth sailing as possible without me getting Matt to go in a fury about things that make him angry.
No, look out. Like, I'm going to, if that happens, if something silly like that, like, I'm going to take the day off from work. I'm not even going to go to work just to come on here and just rant for like 3 hours. I'm serious. Like, people think I'm joking. No, I will. All right. Well, moving to something else, because I know we're crunching up against time here. I wanted your thoughts on the Usos' return as well as Sheamus's return. Just all the big returns that happened with John Morrison, Sheamus, and the Usos on SmackDown. What did you think of their returns? And are you excited for what they're going to do in the future?
I didn't see the John Morrison one because I kind of skimmed through SmackDown on Friday. It was on. I watched it. But I saw Sheamus return. And I was saying to you before we got started rolling, like, he kind of came out to a fart. Everybody was like, yay, it's Sheamus. And he looks like he used to. So, and he's a little smaller. Like, I don't understand why you're going to return and, like, be your, like, original character. Like, yeah, you have your new music, but, I mean, I liked Mohawk Sheamus. He doesn't necessarily have to be a bad guy with a mohawk. I don't know. I was watching his promos, and, like, they had the light behind him, and it was black, and I was, like, looking at it, and I was like, he looks like Beaker from The Muppets.
Oh, Beaker.
And then it was like, but he can speak, and he's really mad. But that's what, like, kind of was, like, the vibe that I got from it. So it came out, and I was like, oh, Sheamus is back. And then the Usos was a little more interesting. I really hope that they, like, start, like, a faction with this bloodline. Remember I was talking about this a couple months ago when they were doing it? Like, when the Usos were helping out Roman a lot? Like, I just don't understand, like, why they don't pull the trigger and get new music and stuff like that and all come out together as a crew.
They should. I like the teaming of the Usos and Roman Reigns. I think that they could be a really good babyface team. I just don't think that that's going to be a long-term story because, again, the focus is on Reigns. Reigns is too big to be in a team. I don't think they will. I think he'll be there. The Usos will be there when he needs backup from an outnumbered situation. And I don't know what's going on with, like, the haircuts around WWE, but now apparently Sheamus got in the same time machine that Daniel Bryan did. The Usos suddenly ran into, a buzzsaw as well. I mean, people are getting haircuts left and right. So, yeah, Sheamus, he looks, like you said, he looks a lot leaner. I'm fine with it, the way he looks. I don't feel one way or the other. As you said, it was just kind of like, oh, cool, Sheamus is back. I didn't feel a whole lot for it. I like him booked as a heel, though, attacking Chad Gable. I'm not going with the silly name that they've given him. It's Chad Gable to me. And turning his back on Gable and giving him a bro kick, which looked like he killed him. I love the way Gable sold that. So that was, I think, the right booking. Having the Usos come back as babyfaces certainly helps, I think, the tag team division. And yes, they could temporarily form a bloodline faction for the time being, but long term, obviously Roman is the star of that group. Roman deserves to be on his own, and I think, especially with WrestleMania season coming around, I think that's going to be the case.
I mean, I don't know. I still think that it's possible to be the focal point of something and to be the leader of a group. I mean, again, Adam Cole is doing it down in NXT with Undisputed Era. I think it works. It helps Roman more. I think it helps the Usos. I mean, they put out a picture that had Tamina in it. I mean, if you're going to bring Tamina, because Tamina's been kind of floating around forever, you know, poor chick, put her in a group with her family. And then you have Nia Jax too, that you could fit in there. Like, she's related to The Rock. They're related to The Rock. You know, it works. I want a real faction, man. dying for
we
it.
We all do.
Three people are not a faction.
I know.
But that's the other thing. I was thinking about, like, Royal Rumble stuff style going through my head, because, again, it's my favorite stuff. Who say AJ's not the favorite to win the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, he could. But, I mean, again, I feel like AJ Styles, yeah, he's in close to a faction. He's one person short of a faction. But I just don't feel like it's not his year anymore. I think the AJ train of being the face of the company has, I don't want to say it's sailed, but if it's going to happen, I don't think it's going to happen again this year. I mean, there's rumors all over the place of AJ he's starting to wind down. I mean, there's an interview that he did, last week that, I read a news story just today, and I forget who the source is. Otherwise I'd give credit. Looking it up, but he said basically that, you know, he doesn't have the energy he used to have, and, you know, once his contract is up, he may or may not renew. I just don't think that they're looking to make AJ that at that level again. Not to say he won't hold a major championship, but again, from Rumble to Mania is a whole different animal in terms of, it's a huge message from the company to the fans who they are going to be focusing on the next, well, obviously from Rumble to Mania, but even thereafter. Who are they really looking towards to take the ball and run? And I don't think AJ, as much as I would be okay with it, I just don't see any signs of that being the case.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's really hot this year, and he's had, like, stupendous matches, and he could be winding down, but I think he's a favorite. I still would consider him a favorite for the Rumble. But you also, another thing, we could have Finn Balor come back in the Rumble, too. I don't know if he's going to go back down to NXT, but he's probably going to be in the Rumble this year too.
Yeah, yeah. I could see. Yeah, what I think is, I think you're right to a point that these two, like you said, Balor, if he's in it, awesome, and I think he will be. Obviously, AJ is going to be in it. They could easily be the final five, six, even final part of the final four with Roman and, you know, Kevin Owens. Maybe it's Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, Roman. And whoever I just missed, AJ, it could be all four of them, and I'm fine with that too. So it could be those four. AJ will certainly make a showing. He will certainly, I think, last to the final few competitors, and it'll send the message that, hey, whoever wins the Rumble is just that much better. And AJ's still a top guy. He's just not that top guy. He's not the top guy anymore.
Okay. We can agree on that.
So, But if he wins, I think he's a dark horse to win. He's one of those sneaky ones that no one's really thinking about. It's like, oh, AJ's, yeah. you know what I mean? So I that would be one that you would, I think, kind of on the sly put some money down on. But I don't know. I don't know.
Smart you think that they're going to give AJ a Rumble win before he leaves?
I guess
established himself so quickly in the short amount of time that he's been in with the WWE that he is the man, you know, like, and they've pushed him and they've given him everything. I just feel like that would be something that they would give to him.
They could.
Maybe he wins the title again.
Yeah, I don't know when his contract is up. I've been trying to find what the expiration date is and if he extends the contract. So, yeah. And what's cool is he debuted in the Rumble, and he debuted against Roman Reigns, who was in the ring at the Rumble. I think it was Rumble 16. So that, I think, would be cool to tell that story when those two are in the ring again. Maybe they could tell the same story. Roman enters, and then, you know, Roman takes out a bunch of guys, and AJ comes out, and they could tell the story. The announcers could tell the story of, you know, the parallel of how far AJ's come, and this is how he debuted. There's a lot of history there. I mean, I think that'd be a pretty cool moment. All right, well, so as we start to close things out here, I want your thoughts, and God Almighty, take a breath. What do you think of the closing segment of the last Raw of the decade with Lashley and Lana getting married, only to be interrupted by 30 people with their exes coming out and saying, don't marry this person, they'll do what they did to me, having the terrible acting by the priest or the officiant, and having Rusev pop out of the cake. And of course, really the big story here is Liv Morgan coming out to say that she's, you know, why did you do that? We were in love. I loved you. You know, all this stuff. I don't know. Again, I'm going to reserve my thoughts, but I want to hear yours.
That was the best and worst thing I've ever seen on Monday Night Raw. Like, it was so bad, it was good.
Yeah.
It was so bad, it was good. She was out, like, out of control. Lana was out of control. It was so bad, it was good. Like, everybody's talking about it. It was terrible, but it was good. And Rusev missing popping out of the cake the first time.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he popped out, he had, like, this huge grin on his face. I didn't hate it, man. It was the best and worst thing that I've ever watched, and everybody's like up in arms about the Liv Morgan thing. Whatever, I don't even care. It's fine. It's something that they've done a billion times. I didn't find it offensive.
Oh my God.
It wasn't like making her like a victim or anything. I don't know why they're doing it. Again, so bad, it was good. It was so bad, it was good.
That's a good way
terrible,
to put it.
It was terrible, but I couldn't look away. It was a train wreck, but I couldn't look away. It was great.
It's the best, worst thing I've ever seen, right? Like, it was I went on Twitter after this. I said, this is the worst, like, trash TV that I've seen in a while. But at the same time, looking back after I took a breath, I was like, why am I watching this? Like, I know it's terrible, but I need to keep seeing what happens because it's so bad. And you have Lana getting the makeup from Lashley on her face. Like, Lashley's,
I forgot about that.
Lashley's makeup was on Lana's face. And they were trying to pan the camera so that it didn't really, like, accentuate the fact that she had makeup from Lashley on her face. And eventually Lashley kind of subtly tried to wipe it off and give her the cue that, hey, you got
about it.
Yeah.
It was so bad. It was
like
good.
That was like something like that. That is only indicative of segments that are god awful, but they reach a level of terrible that it's almost entertaining. And it's not designed to be that. I really don't believe they designed it as such. But you have, yes, Liv Morgan. I don't give a damn. I don't know how that's offensive. I mean, seriously, folks, we've seen Billy and Chuck. Anybody remember Billy and Chuck back in, 2002, 2003, when they were a gay tag team and they had a gay wedding? Anybody remember that? 15 years ago, right? So WWE has done this before. If you're offended by this, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, right? This is wrestling, and it's 2020, guys. Come on. So yeah, Liv Morgan coming out, I'm fine with that. Lana going off, she's a little bit quirky on the mic. She goes on and on times when she stumbles over things, and sometimes her sentences don't make sense. I'm not a fan of Lana droning on. Liv Morgan, I did not expect her to come out and confess everything that had happened. Obviously, this wedding is not official because Rusev popped out of the cake just before they made it official with the kiss. But it's interesting to me that Rusev had said weeks prior to this that I'm glad that Lana's out of my life and they can be happy together, all this stuff, and yet he still wants to interrupt the ceremony, and yet he says he doesn't care. Furthermore, it doesn't take a kiss to really make the marriage official. We all know you don't even have to have the ceremony. You could just go to town hall and get the marriage license signed. That's really what counts as the marriage license. The ceremony is just that. It's a ceremony. It's really just for show. So, I think that you, I don't know, there's a lot of plot holes in this whole thing, and there's so many holes that you could point out. Is it even worth my breath to talk about them all?
It was so, I've been waiting for a bit because it was so off the rails. And once that something goes off the rails, like, you got to make the best of it. And I think they made the best of the situation. Like, Bobby Lashley was laughing at the makeup on her face at one point, too. And then, like, Liv Morgan, the only complaint I have about Liv Morgan is, what the hell was she wearing? She was wearing, like, the worst outfit I've ever seen in my whole entire life. All right, that was a girl thing on the side. But it was just, I don't know. It was so terrible. It didn't bother me. It was funny. And she, Lana's not the smartest, person. So that's why she doesn't make sense half the time she's talking on the mic. She's not known for her intelligence, bub. So I loved it. And then I hate it. I hate myself for loving it.
Yeah, I feel like I feel guilty. Dirty. I feel dirty. Yeah, like I want to shower after I watch this. And I don't know why I'm watching it. It's so bad that, like, it's one of those things that, and I said this in a show earlier this week, that if you have a non-wrestling fan over, and, you know, you'll have the closet fans start to come out, especially in the next couple weeks, kind of poking their head in the window going, oh, what's going on? It's WrestleMania season. Or they, you know, Stone Cold back? Is The Rock back? Because they don't know what the hell's going on. They just poke their head in when it starts to become socially cool to get interested in wrestling. But it's like having one of those people over for a show like that, and they look at that and they roll their eyes and they go, yeah, this is why I don't watch wrestling. But as a wrestling fan, you look at this and are like, yeah, this is a complete effing train wreck. You either love it or hate it, but sometimes you hate it so much that you end up loving it. It's the strangest thing with this whole storyline.
Yeah, that's basically where I'm at with it. I don't have anything, like, I don't have any input or where I think it's going. It was the worst, best thing I've ever watched.
Well, clearly it's not over. I mean, they added this whole... No, in fact, I think it's far from over, considering the fact that they've added Liv Morgan and this whole other layer of what could be going on here. Yeah, this is far from over. I just don't know what the end game is, because I don't know how Rusev even gives a damn anymore. Like, how could Rusev... It can't come down to Bobby Lashley and Rusev anymore. I mean, how? If they do, that maybe, but... Maybe it ends up in a match with Lana and Liv. I don't know. I don't know what the end game is here, because this has to end in some kind of match. I mean, we are watching wrestling, so it has to end in a match of some sort. I don't know what or how. So, God. All right. Well, one last thing I wanted to ask you about before we close this out is Otis. Now, yeah. So, now, and here's the thing. I'm very intrigued by Otis, and we've talked about him before, and we've talked about what we think's going to happen with Mandy Rose, and that she's going to leave him to be a fool, and I know we've covered that. But, I mean, he is entertaining. I think that he is very charismatic. He's clearly the star of Heavy Machinery by a long shot. Tucker is almost the forgotten one. He's the redhead stepchild of the group. And you have Otis, the star, and he comes out and he's extremely entertaining, but he's kind of like the lovable fool that, you know, brings in these homemade cakes now to Mandy Rose. And, you know, you're not sure if she's genuinely interested or if she's going to play him for a fool. I'm leaning actually a little bit more towards actually being genuine, because I think the obvious thing to do here is to have Mandy Rose just be the total, you know what, and turn on Otis, saying, you think I could actually love someone like you, you know, and then just berate him and people feel sorry for Otis. And I think that's the easy thing to do. I think what the better thing to do is to actually have Mandy Rose be genuinely interested in Otis. What do you think about this?
I will admit that was one of the segments I skipped on SmackDown this week. I don't know what's going to happen with it. I'm totally not invested. Yeah, she could end up liking him, but she's going to turn on him eventually. And that's where the storyline is going.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I think you're probably right. I just want to see them do something that's maybe a little unpredictable and have her actually like him. And you know, hey, because I think Otis is going to be a future star. If Vince ever gets off of the fact that he has a big stomach and we need to accentuate it and make sure he always has food on him, or he has food running down his face, or wears shirts that are half his size, or, you know, all this stuff that really just, I think, takes away from him. We all know he's a heavy set guy. Who cares? It's wrestling. We've had how many dozens and dozens of guys that have come through that have been heavy set and have made it just fine without it being accentuated as a comedy act. But that's Vince McMahon's 14-year-old humor. So, all right. Well, Mary, it has been a blast again, as always, talking with you. And it just the streak continues with every time that you're on. I find a rant to provide, and so
I wasn't trying to rile you up. I wasn't trying to rant. I was just trying to get my conspiracy theory that CM Punk's going to show up in the next 3 months.
Yes.
Across.
Yes.
I was on my whole end game, so I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ruffle your feathers.
No. You're good. Because, well, the conspiracy theory, the more you talk about it, the more I'm starting to buy into it. So yeah, it could very well happen. If it did, you can take credit for it, because you called this.
First.
Yeah. I'm telling you, you never know who listens to what. So, well, again, thank you for coming on. And before you head out, let everyone know where they can find you on social media.
You can follow me at @Mare_Bear on Twitter, or you can follow me at Poppins311 on Instagram.
Very good. And guys, don't forget, we can get hashtag Conspiracy Theory Mary trending if you guys want to start that.
Hashtag Conspiracy Theory Mary. I want that to happen, guys. Send me your conspiracy theories.
And like we said before, we'll have to have you back on in a non-wrestling capacity to talk about some other conspiracy theories you have, which I'm very interested to hear. So, all right. Well, Mary, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll be talking very soon.
Okay, you too. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Bye.
Bye.